of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Tuesday, October 23, 2018 at 7 p.m. Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Assembly Member Patty Gilbert.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have nobody up for the invocation. Would somebody from the audience like to do an invocation for us?
Yes.
Thank you, Don. Would everybody please remain standing for the invocation?
Dear Lord, as we gather here tonight for our assembly meeting for the borough and city of Wrangell, let us remember our past and our future, and let's think very cautiously about our future and keep all of the citizens of this borough in mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, God. Okay, ceremonial matters. We have a couple tonight. Proclamation, and this is a long one, so please everybody bear with me as I muff my way through this. Extra Mile Day Proclamation, November 1st, 2018. Whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which acknowledges that a special vibrance exists within the entire community when its individual citizens collectively go the extra mile, personal effort, volunteerism, and service. And whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which encourages its citizens to maximize their personal contribution to the community by giving of themselves wholeheartedly and with total effort, commitment, and conviction to their individual ambitions, families, friends, and community. And whereas Wrangell is a community which chooses to shine a light on and celebrate individuals and organizations within its community who go the extra mile in order to make a difference and lift up fellow members of their community. And whereas the City and Borough of Wrangell acknowledges the mission of the Extra Mile America to create 550 extra mile cities in America and is proud to support Extra Mile Day on November 1st, 2018. Now therefore, I, Stephen Prasanka, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim November 1st, 2018 to be Extra Mile Day. And I urge each individual in the community to take time on this day to not only go the extra mile in his or her own life, but to also acknowledge all of those who are inspirational in their efforts and commitment to make their organizations, family, community, country, or world a better place.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we have a whole pile of certificates of service to a bunch of individuals who went the extra mile for their community. And so I'll read them off. If anybody is here, that when I read your name, if you come forward and I'll give you your certificate. These are certificate of service for Roland Howell, who is on the Borough Assembly, Duke Mitchell, who is Planning and Zoning Commission, Charles Haverick, Planning and Zoning Commission, Alice Rooney, served on the Parks and Recreation Board, Bob Lippard, Parks and Recreation Board, Heidi Armstrong, Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau. Yay, Heidi's here. There you go, Heidi. Thank you so much. I remember when you jumped into that. And Mark Mitchell, Economic Development Committee. So, Kim, if you'd make sure folks would get those.
I will, thank you.
We need some more assembly members, so I don't have
I know.
So far here. Okay. We'll move on to roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Present.
DeLong?
Present.
Decker?
Here.
Powell? And Mayor Prasanka.
Here. Okay. Persons to be heard. Did everybody who wanted a chance to be heard get a chance to sign up? Is there anybody that still needs to sign up? Thank you. Okay. We've got quite a few people here tonight. I don't want to impose any artificial restrictions, but in the interest of moving through everybody who would like a chance to be heard, I'm going to keep it to 3 minutes per person to speak. If somebody gets up and speaks and you agree with them and you agree with their points, I think recognize that maybe you can get up and say, I'd just like to say that I agree with what Don McConaughey had to say, and then we can move on. Repeating the same point over and over is sometimes can get a bit long. So if you have something different to add, make sure you add that so that we know what you have to say. And first up, we'll have Don McConaughey, please.
I put down two topics. Does that mean I get 6 minutes?
Yeah, it depends. We'll make a ruling on that later.
Well, I'm going to start out with my first topic. The first topic is something that happened at the last meeting. I have no qualms with what happened with the person getting hired and leaving the council, getting hired as a city employee. That's not my problem. My problem is how you can circumvent an ordinance so easily. Now, I realize you're going to say that you had advice from lawyers and one thing another, and that's all well and good. But it seems to me that it was just a little bit too easy to do that. I didn't think about it at the time of the meeting until I heard that it became a radio and a newspaper article. And then I put my due diligence, which is kind of lacking now that I'm not on the assembly. I used to watch these things very, very closely. But thinking about it afterwards, I thought it was very unrealistic to do something that to benefit yourself. Basically, I'm going to put it that way. It was just a benefit to you. It was not a benefit to the city per se, which is what you are here to administer, the rules and the regulations and the ordinance of the state of Alaska and the city and borough of Wright. That's all I'll say on that subject. The other subject is what is coming up tonight. Item 13G. I joined the assembly in 1998. At that time, there was quite a few people that were on the council. The mayor at the time was Mr. Bill Privett. There was one other lady that I'm going to mention that I spent the following year. Her term ended in 1999. Her name was Teddy Williams. Teddy Williams left us with a legacy in 1999, and that was to add to the agenda an invocation, which we all agreed to. We were going through some tumultuous times in that period of time, and she felt that help do a little bit of breathing exercise when you first start out the meeting and give you a little bit better perspective. I agreed with her at that time, and I agree with her today. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. Nitty Cobalt.
I too am here to speak on G13G. Teddy Williams. prayer is very, very important, and I don't believe that anything small or big should ever happen without prayer, the assistance of prayer. And when I hear prayer being taken out of something, I'm wondering, if people don't believe in prayer, what is the threat? And if you do believe in prayer, then only God knows what great things can happen. And only good comes from prayer, and not just for the events that are being prayed for and as what happens in these meetings, but also for the people who are being prayed for. I don't believe we have to be the ones saying the prayer to get the benefits. And I know from my participation in doing the invocation, it seems very positive, and it seems, like Don said, a good time to take a breath and center before we start the business. And so I am stating that I believe that the invocation still should be a part of the beginning of the meetings.
Thank you, Nettie. Rudy Brisker.
My name is Rudy Brisker, 732 Shocking Circle. And, you know, for past probably 20 years, it has become popular to cite separation of church and state. You cannot find that in the Constitution. It does not exist. It does say that Congress shall make no laws respecting establishment of a religion, which most of the invocation is from the Christian community, was established over 2,000 years before the United States came into being. And it's, you know, it's just ridiculous. Nobody can claim that they are harmed by opening an assembly meeting with prayer. Nobody. They are not harmed. There may be some that are offended, and that's their right. But offense is no reason to remove something that's long-standing.
Thank you, Rudy. Just so folks know, this is, if people did not read the ordinance, I'm getting the feeling that maybe people didn't read and understand what the ordinance was about. What we'll be discussing tonight is the Supreme Court of Alaska just made a ruling stating that assembly cannot codify an invocation as a part of their code. Nobody's saying people can't pray. It just can't be codified. This is just passed down in the Kenai Borough. So if it sounds like there's a feeling that people are attacking praying, they're not. This is something that's going to be going statewide for every borough to look at because it leaves you open for lawsuits. So our lawyer, when they did the evaluation, said because the invocation was a part of our, it's codified within our charter because the agenda is codified. But the agenda is codified and the agenda has an invocation in it. That's the problem. So it's not the prayers the problem. It was the codifying of the invocation. I hope that clarifies. We're going to move on here, Don.
Okay.
Clay Hammer. And just to remind folks, Rudy reminded me, if you could say your name when you come up to the podium, just for the record, I appreciate it.
But not your address.
You don't need your address, yeah.
You know where I live. Clay Hammer, 690 Evergreen, anyway. I'm here to speak about 13G, of course, and I know that the prayer is very important to me and to my family, and, you know, I guess regardless of what's being handed down from the state, I would defend our right to be an individual community and do business within our community the way our community feels fit. And you know, if it means going against the state in this, I'm comfortable with that. So anyway, I believe that we as a community have benefited very well from the way we've done our business here. And prayer has been a part of that business, and I hope to see it continue. So, thank you.
Thanks, Clay. Heidi Armstrong.
I'm Heidi Armstrong. Could you explain codify?
So basically, it's within our written rules that will always be placed in our agenda.
The invocation will be placed
in the agenda.
So it won't be taken. It won't be removed.
It will be removed. It's just not saying that if somebody wanted to come and pray during any other time, they can. We just can't place it in the agenda.
And go ahead.
So do you want me to clarify?
Yeah.
So in our code, that section of the code that states what will be on our agenda, the invocation is on that in that part of our code. And our code is our, like, the city's laws, what we follow. And so what this ordinance does is just it takes the invocation out of the agenda. So it's not part of borough business. Because when you have the agenda, this is our business. This is what we're going to conduct today. And right. So then this it would be taken out of borough business.
Okay. So how did it get put in there if it wasn't okay to be put in there in the first place?
I think what I was trying to say, Heidi, is we just had a Supreme Court ruling just last week or the week before.
Yeah.
that...
And I can look that up online, like that's just like a snowballing effect.
The borough is Kenai District of City.
It's huge, yeah. It was a big story, so...
Okay.
And it's been filtering through the courts for a while.
Okay, I was just going to read a letter from a friend. There are leftists who say they want to get rid of the Constitution. They look at the Constitution as an outdated relic. I also see them challenging the Declaration of Independence that declares our rights come from God. The logic of declaration is clear. No God, no rights. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian writer and a critic of the atheist USSR, who spent years in one of Stalin's, gulags, once said, "While I was a child, I recall hearing a number of older people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that have befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. About 200 years ago, Yale University President Timothy Dwight warned us against forgetting God. Where there is no religion, there is no morality. With the loss of religion, the ultimate foundation of confidence is blown up. Liberty and property are buried in ruins." I agree with Alex de Tocqueville, a Frenchman who noted, "It must never be forgotten that religion gave birth to Anglo-American society. If there is no God, there is no one to hold us accountable. But there is a God, and we will suffer for the consequences, good or bad." And that was Steve Murphy. And I just, Pastor Kim Haggard could not be here, and he wanted to agree with Don that there are 9 churches that we'd like to see. And maybe you could come up with a solution, like a person to be heard. A person to be heard could come in and give the invocation. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Mark Armstrong.
Mark Armstrong. I'm here to speak about prayer, and I was just going to read this briefly. It's something that we've all heard. It's from the Declaration of Independence. It says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." We have the political system that we have because there were men who recognized unalienable rights given by a Creator. And we recognize that in the Pledge of Allegiance. It's created the political system that we have. It's been handed down that can't be part of our code, but if there's a way that we can figure out as a community to keep that a part of our business, I think that would be very acceptable to the community and very beneficial. It speaks of our roots. It speaks of our political system. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And Joseph Huke, I believe.
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph.
Okay.
Thank you, Joseph. Does anybody who didn't get a chance to sign up want to speak?
I signed up.
Joseph, if you'd like to speak, you're welcome to come up to the podium now.
I understand that, but I like I said, being at that state level,
okay.
What I have to say.
So, Joseph, I want to just remind you that if you'd like to speak, please come up to the podium.
Yeah, I'm done.
Thank you. Okay, does anybody else? Mr. Leslie.
Jim Leslie. I just wanted to point out that whatever action is taken or has been taken by the Alaska Supreme Court does not preclude anyone from praying. We don't need to pray publicly. Probably one of the problems with that is we don't all pray to the same entity, idea, deity, or philosophical belief. So I think in respect for religions or non-religion, other than the Christian faith, it probably serves us all well to be able to pray privately. That's all I got.
Thank you. Last chance for anyone else. I want to thank everybody for coming out and expressing your opinions. It's very important that you come down and let us know what you're thinking, and I appreciate that folks did. So thank you so much for coming in, and also the level of respect that everybody showed. I really appreciate it. So thank you. Pass that off to Kim. Okay. We're moving on to amendments to the agenda. Sorry?
Mayor, do you want to explain to the public how it'll go tonight for that? It's a first
sure.
reading?
Sure. This will be the first reading. And we will either vote it up or down to move forward in the process. The process then will be a second reading and a public hearing that will take place at our next meeting, which will be the end of November, and the date is
November 27th.
And we get to come and speak to that topic should it be moved along tonight from the first reading. And if you want to, you're also welcome to submit anything written that you would like, and that can go to the clerk's office. So there's another, if it moves forward tonight, there's another opportunity to discuss the ordinance moving forward. So you still have some chances if it moves forward tonight to come and express your views. Is that what you're looking for, Kim? Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Amendments to the agenda.
Yes,
go ahead.
I'd like to remove 13B as per request of the city manager.
Okay, 13B.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the removal of 13B from the agenda? Yes, Patty.
I believe it's removed because of lack of completeness. We have information missing.
Lisa, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah. Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
So item 13B is actually being removed because the assembly does not need to take action on this item anymore. This was going to authorize the mayor to enter into a letter regarding real property timeline that would allow search 30 days beyond the effective date of the asset purchase agreement to object to title. And search has provided us with documentation stating that they don't need that time frame. And so all of the attorneys on both sides have agreed to that. So this item, it was incomplete because it wasn't finalized between the attorneys yet, but we do not need it, and that's why it's being removed from the agenda.
Thank you, Lisa. Any other comments or questions? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Any other amendments to the agenda?
Mayor Prasanka, I move to list item 7C, the quarterly permanent fund report, above consent agenda.
Okay, so moving item 7C, quarterly permanent fund report, to above consent agenda. Is there a seconder?
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Okay, item 5, conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict with any item on our agenda this evening? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on to consent agenda, and we're moving 7C to the top end there, quarterly permanent fund report. Could I ask that Lee bring on, please, if that's... okay with folks?
Yes, can everyone hear me?
Yep.
We can, Lee, thank you.
Okay, so in addition to a write-up that should have been provided at the last meeting, we scheduled today to have Tom Conniff of Morgan Stanley on the line, and I don't know if I caught it at first. Is Tom, are you on the line?
I am, yes, Lee.
Okay, in addition to sort of my write-up about the permanent fund, there are quarterly reports that I receive from Tom every quarter, and I realize that some of them are kind of long and in-depth, and it might be hard for the layperson to read, or for most people to read for that matter, but they do provide a lot of detail about the allocation of our investments in the permanent fund, including the money that is set aside for the pool. And so without getting into really too much specifics, the purpose of having Tom on the line is that he could probably answer some of your questions, and anything that I would have written or that would have been provided last time could probably be elaborated on. So I don't really have too much more to add other than that, unless anyone has any specific questions.
Any assembly member with specific questions? Assemblymember Gilbert.
It would help us if Tom would reference his letter and take us through that.
That's an excellent point. Tom, did you hear Assemblymember Gilbert just requesting that you reference the actual document and as you take us through?
Sure. What I think I'll do to give you as much clarity as possible without overloading you with information is walk you through the quarterly report, only certain specific pages, and then I can go into more detail if folks would like me to. But I'm going to try to hit the high points, if you will. And maybe give you a couple of shortcuts on how to take a look at your portfolio, how it's doing, how it's invested, and so forth.
That would be excellent. Thank you.
So there are two reports that should be attached. The first is the longer of the two. It's a 50-page report. That is the permanent fund report. And then the second one, which is shorter, would be the pool fund report. And if you open up the first document and go to page 10, that will allow you to take a look at performance of the portfolio. Now, performance is shown many different ways throughout the report. This is the page that shows the most detail over the longest period of time. And it's done both numerically and in a couple of different charts. And on the top of that page, you'll see that it shows the return net of fee, so that's after all cost, for the quarter, third quarter of 2018, was 3.18%. And it's comparing that to a custom blend, which is a benchmark to kind of give a sense of you know what we're targeting with the portfolio. Year to date, that number is 4.05%. Trailing 12 months, 7.91%. The last 3 years has been 8.02% per year. The last 5 years has been 5.95% per year. And since inception has been 5.15% per year. So that gives you a sense of what the performance of the portfolio has been. Now if you direct your attention to page, one second, page 5,
asset allocation and unrealized gain loss.
Right. So that's going to show you what the portfolio is investing in from an asset class standpoint. And again, it does it numerically. It's also doing it in a pie chart. So as of the end of the third quarter, there was 46.8% in U.S. stocks. There was 12.6% in developed international stocks. 3.4% in emerging markets. You had 2.4% was in cash, 23.6% in U.S. fixed income, 7.8% in short-term U.S. fixed income, and 2.4% in what's referred to as ultra-short fixed income. And then if you look at the numerics, it'll actually break that down even farther. It'll break the U.S. equities up into how much is invested in large cap growth stocks versus large cap value stocks, mid cap growth, mid cap value, and so forth. A brief description of what that means. Large cap refers to large capitalization. So these are going to be much larger companies that are trading at higher multiples, capitalization structures, companies that you would most likely recognize. Growth and value, the difference between that, value is usually considered a stock that is trading at a lower price-to-earnings multiple. So what that means is that tends to be a more conservative type company. As far as how much you're paying for that particular share, value stocks also tend to pay dividends. Growth stocks tend to trade at higher multiples, and they tend not to pay dividends. So an example of a growth stock would be Amazon.com. An example of a value stock would be AT&T, two very different type companies. If one were to spend time looking through the details of how the portfolio is created, right now you've got roughly 60% of the portfolio is in equity, roughly 40% of the portfolio is in fixed income. That's a slight increase, predominantly because of increase in value of the equity through the third quarter. The markets have been doing quite well for a number of quarters. The stocks in the portfolio are vastly, predominantly big-named companies, split between dividend-paying, more conservative type companies, and larger growth companies. And the bonds in the portfolio are very conservative. They are predominantly U.S. Treasury, U.S. agency, with some investment-grade corporate bonds, and they tend to be shorter in maturity. And from a risk standpoint, the shorter the maturity, there tends to be the less amount of risk. And so that's how the portfolio is constructed. If you go to page 20, you'll then see a breakdown of the different managers running each of the various asset classes for the portfolio. And currently in the Wrangell Permanent Fund, there are 12 accounts. One is essentially a cash account that we pay the your dividend out of each year. The other 11 are actively managed portfolios. And you can see, for example, we'll just take the first managed portfolio would be the second account listed. Name of the manager is Jennison Large Cap Growth. And you can see a history of that particular manager. It shows their performance for your particular portfolio. And it shows it quarter to date, year to date, 12 months, 3 years, 5 years, and since inception. And then it gives a comparison to an appropriate benchmark. And this allows me and others and certainly myself to constantly be looking at the managers and seeing how they're doing, not only on an absolute basis, but as important on a relative basis, meaning compared to others, compared to the indices, how are they doing? And over time, what we've done is we have changed asset allocation, never or mostly not very abruptly, but in a I guess a more slow fashion. Shifting asset allocation based on what's going on in the markets, based on thoughts as to where we can gain return relative to risk. And the other thing that we have done through time is when a manager is doing well, the manager continues to manage the assets. And if we find that a manager's performance has fallen off relative to their peer group, relative to their benchmark, absent some reason that makes sense, we'll make a change with that particular manager, and we do that because we're trying to always get the greatest amount of return relative to risk that's taken with the portfolio.
We have a question here from Assemblymember Gilbert.
Tom, when you talk about the actively managed portfolios, where do I find the management fees? Where are those listed?
The management fees will not be listed in this particular report. Those come out of the accounts. Each specific account has a deduction each quarter. And so you'll see an exact dollar amount that is deducted. Right now, with all of the discounts, both on the particular assets as well as the combined discount for the assets, Wrangell is currently paying, roughly 44 to 45 basis points, which means 0.44 to 0.45 for fixed income, meaning bond portfolios, and paying between 0.91 or 91 basis points and 1.01 for equity portfolios. That's in total. And it puts your average cost for everything. That's my services, firm services, all trading, all custody, all monitoring, all reports, et cetera, puts you right around 75, 76, 77 basis points, depending upon the asset allocation for the portfolio.
So in dollar figures, that would be?
So in dollar figures, you would multiply, let's say, 0.76, so it would be 0.0076 times the asset level. Hold on 1 second here. I have to use my phone to do this, so 1 second.
Okay.